consider this the pre-message before the actual message of today's episode. But nah, I'm laughing because last year was really a journey. And I recorded over 100 mini episodes following this big transition in my life that didn't really pan out the way that I've wanted it to. And when it didn't happen, I had to sit with understanding the underlying message, the visible lessons, the mirrors that the universe was showing to me and trying to teach me. And I honestly will say this. Either you voluntarily do the work that you need to do for self, or the universe has a funny way of forcing you to sit with the shit that you need to do for self. And when it happens, and when those tower moments occur all at once, you gotta be able to navigate through it. And sometimes the energy that it takes to sit with your own shit does take away time for you to be present for things that you're really passionate about. But you can't show up for the things that you're passionate about if you really can't be able to show up for self. And so I think that was a very important theme of last year as I was calling fluidity to me and what it was that I wanted to experience. I got a little bit of all of it. I got smooth elegance and grace and being able to flow with ease. And I got unpredictability. I got unprecedented change. You know, I got instability all in one. And for about 9 months out of the year, I faced more of the downside of fluidity than the upside of what it was that I wanted to experience. And coming out of it, I understand why it was so necessary for me. But there are still things about that journey that I'm sure I will be processing throughout my lifetime. And so, yes, I took a huge break from Broke Black Bougie. And as the founder, I recognize it's important to show up and acknowledge that. But I also know, too, that not every break requires an explanation. And not every boundary that you need to have for self must be explained. But because of what this brand represents, I understand how important it is to show up and be honest about the direction that life takes you. You know, even when you may be experiencing some discomfort. But anywho, y'all already know this episode is going to be different. It's going to be a solo episode. But I hope you enjoy today's conversation. And most importantly, thank you for tapping into the Broke Black Bougie podcast, being in community with BBB, and continuing to showcase your support. Happy New Year. I hope this new year is extremely better than last year. And if last year was your best year or one of your best years, I hope this year can exceed that. Let's get into today's episode. Enjoy. I told myself that we could do this the easy way, or we could do this the hard way. The choice is really yours. And I decided that I was going to do this episode navigating it just the way that I should. You know, the easy way would have been to come on here and act like 2022 never happened. And the hard way would be to just try to sweep things under the rug, you know. And I didn't want to do either or, because this particular episode is inspired by a recording that I was producing in May of last year. And I began that journey because for 2 months, for March and April, I went kind of ghost creating content for BBB on all of the platforms. And I needed to pour into myself in a personal journey in a way that I could not show up for my passion projects. and what was supposed to be only a few months of not creating content became essentially a whole year of a move that forced me to pivot and go in a different direction. And so I want to talk about what happens when some things we really want to happen in life don't go as we anticipate, and how we plan and prepare and receive signs. And sometimes divine intervention comes down and says, listen, not right now. Give yourself some space. And once you navigate through the things that you need to face, maybe another door will open up for you, you know? And I wasn't ready to accept that nor receive it, especially in a season where I felt like things were supposed to be so perfect. And the thing about last year is that I called fluidity over my life. And what I wanted to do is experience life with ease. Literally, the definition of fluidity is for a substance to flow easily. I wanted to be able to experience life with ease. I wanted to experience my life experiences with smooth elegance and grace. And I did not want to experience the part of fluidity that is defined as instability. Nobody wanted that, you know, quite frankly, because from 2016 to 2021, I had many years where I didn't feel like they were great years, you know, like there were years where there were great moments. There was some elevation periods, but to say a great year, hell nah, like that wasn't what it was for me, you know, and 2022 definitely put the icing on the cake for a year that catapulted me into a different level of spiritual awakening. And I know when people say that, folks be like, yeah, every year that you have a struggle year, you're going to be tapped into some type of spiritual awakening. But no, it was a very different kind of spiritual awakening, because I felt like by the signs I was receiving and the pauses that I was forced to take, it forced me to face things in my life that I had buried under masks. Things that I didn't really want to address or felt like I would get to when I felt the time was right. And when you move that way, the universe has a very funny way of positioning you to face things that have to be surfaced. Like, oh, you don't want to address this situation? Well, now you have to address it because there's a very similar situation like it right in front of you. Oh, you don't feel comfortable about this? Guess what? It's come to surface. And so I had a lot of those moments where masks had to come off, and I literally had to face myself in a way that I never had before. And a lot of those moments were uncomfortable. Sometimes they were in front of people. Sometimes they were in front of younger versions of myself and me as an adult having to navigate, like, what do I do in this situation as an adult now? You know, like, some of those journeys were very much so surrounded by this theme of grief. You know, as a youngster, I experienced grief in a very different way as an adult. And even the way I looked at death as a child is very different from how I look at death today. 2022 was a year of a lot of grief. I had to deal with the finality of losing a loved one that I thought I would have more time with. I had to deal with the grief of letting go of certain relationships and experiences that I wish I could have held on to a lot longer, but they weren't serving me in the way that felt good, you know? I had to also deal with the finality of older versions of myself that I had to let die, wishing that in the moments where I were those people, that I could have shown up in a different way. I wish I had this tool to navigate this situation. I wish I had this voice. I wish I used more of my throat chakras. I wish, you know? I was going through a lot of trying to figure out why certain things were happening and who I'm evolving into. And the thing about grief too is that no matter how you experience it or what brings you to that journey of grieving, the pain all feels the same. They're endings. They're endings that create new beginnings. You're a different version of yourself every time you grieve, you know? Every time you grieve in different chapters of your life, you know, you become a different person. And the reason why I say that is because when a version of you dies, when you have to let go of people that you've loved, when there are certain people you'll never get a chance to interact again with in this realm, and time was cut short, those type of experiences changes how you look at life, how you evolve, who you represent as a person, you know? And those are things that I needed to tap into. But dealing with the shifts of a journey and grief and mirrors, I recognize 2022 as the Tower card. And I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with tarot cards, but the Tower card represents chaos, change, loss, life-changing shifts, unprecedented change, right? That happens in one's life in order to help them pivot, go in another direction, or essentially move forward. And there are things that happen in this world that we simply don't have an explanation for. There are things that happen in our life experiences that we don't have an explanation for. But as we maneuver through our path, it's like certain things will be revealed to us, and there will be more full circle moments that help us recognize why certain things had to occur. And so for me, being that I called fluidity to myself, that I saw so much change happen, that it happened in 2022, you know, like, I had to sit with a lot of reflection. And the year for me, my mental health was in the toilet. I don't think I was the best version of myself. I also think that there were experiences that I had that made me recognize this ain't the type of energy that I want to have around me. I wasn't focused on myself the way that I needed to be focused on myself. Like, there was just a lot of different things that I was just like, alert, alert, alert. And the universe was like, well, I'm alerting you too. And I got to hit you with my best shot, fire away, so that your ass can get to be in the right place. And that is what today's conversation is going to be about. On this Politicking segment, I'm going to be overviewing some of the Tower experiences that I navigated last year, the lessons that I've learned, and how I move forward. You know, I began this year writing a letter to 2022. Some of the things that I wish I had the opportunity to say last year, some of the things that I wish I never had to experience, some of the things that were revealed to me, like just writing, and what was supposed to be like a one pager turned into 2-page double-sided written, which ultimately became a 4-page letter. And in an effort to let go, I burned it. I released it to the universe, buried it in the soil, and said, I'm starting anew. And this episode is also a part of that journey. So I hope you're able to tap in today, that it'll be a great episode for y'all, entertaining about a move that forced me to make moves within myself. And I'm just about to get into it, heading into the Politicking segment. With that being said, I want to welcome you all to another episode in the first episode of 2023 of the Bro Black Bougie Podcast, where we create candid conversations for young Black women. And it's relatable because we've all been there. Women having to make it on less than our worth. We do it while setting trends, spreading Black assness, and ultimately busting our tails to live our best life. Let's get into it. 2021 really set the tone for me for what I wanted out of 2022. You know, at the end of 2021, the world was opening up from the pandemic. Festivals were happening, different things were occurring, and I was traveling a lot more at the end of the year. I shared space with my best friends and what felt like forever, you know, and I just started to think a lot about life differently for myself, like where you want to be at, where you want to live, you know, you want to be in a place where you're grounded, where you have roots, and currently where I was wasn't serving me. You know, I knew that I was supposed to be in Albany short term. And when my 5-year anniversary was approaching, I was like, shit, it's time for me to move. And I want to be very honest. I appreciate Albs in an entirely different way. You know, out of all of the places that I've been to and where I've gotten the opportunity to share space with, Albany helped me grow up in a way that I don't know if I could have if I stayed in my hometown. Like, it taught me how to not only get it out the mud, but to be confident in myself, even in times where I really shrunk, you know? It gave me the type of professional skills that I needed, the type of paths that I needed to cross in order to be who I am today. And if it wasn't for OBS, I wouldn't have had that. But I gotta be honest, okay? Sometimes there comes a time where you know where it's time to go. It's time to go. You know, you feel spiritually disconnected from the place you call home. You don't feel like you can grow anymore where you're at. You get tired of being alone, so tired on my own. Won't you help me, girl, just as soon as you can? Sometimes you just get tired. And that's where I was at. You know, I wasn't in the best space, but I knew that I needed to make a move. And at the end of the year, I started to consider, like, where are you going? I had an idea of places that I wanted to be, but I didn't really care if I was ever at those places before or they just popped up into my head. And the reason why I didn't care was because I had made it work in a place that I was unfamiliar with when I first moved down to grad school. So wherever I was going to be, I was going to be able to figure it out. And entering into the new year, I said, all right, I got 4 places. 2 places I ain't never been to before, Charlotte and Raleigh, North Carolina. 2 places I have been before, Atlanta, Georgia, and New York City. And I was just going to figure it out from there. But then when I really sat down and thought through and looked at what it is that I needed and what fueled my creativity, places that I felt comfortable in, you know, where I could really see myself, one place made more sense than the others. I thought about the type of community that I already have. I thought about my work and my activism in New York State. I thought about, like, what makes sense for me in terms of my career path, who I'm already in connection to, you know, and where I could see myself grow without it having to be like me starting from zero. But I'll have a fresh start. You know, and so I chose New York City at the beginning of the year and I prayed on it. I prayed on it so hard. I asked God, I said, if this is where I'm supposed to be, if this is the direction that I'm supposed to go in, send me signs to let me know that I'm headed in the right direction. I'm gonna do the movement. I'm gonna do the work that it is that I need to do. And I believe that I can make it work and I deserve to take what it is that I want. If I want something and I believe that it's meant for me, I deserve to have it. And I'm going to put the work in to make it come into fruition. I prayed heavy. And you know, when you pray for something, it's like, Lord, give me a sign. Let me know what's on your mind. You know, you may not get that sign. You may not get that sign in a couple of days or a couple of weeks. It may come in a couple of months. Okay. And for me, that's exactly what happened. And I want to make sure I emphasize, too, that what made me eager to make this move work was also recognizing that other people I was in community with were changing. They were leaving OBS for better opportunities. Hell, my closest friend from grad school upped and left and went back home for a better opportunity. I knew people who were, you know, looking for different career paths. Like my hairstylist dipped and went to Houston. I had another hairstylist of mine that went and moved to New York. My nail tech went to move to Charlotte. You know, like everybody who was in my life were making their own transitions. And it was just like, yo, it's time for you to literally look and figure out what it is that you want. And in March, I gained clarity about that. I had gone on a vacation to celebrate my best friend's birthday, her 27th birthday. It was my best friend, one of her closest friends, and me. And it was the first time that us three collectively were sharing space in an intimate setting as a trip, you know? And I was super duper grateful because, like, you know, I'm about to turn up. I ain't never been in Aruba before. You know, I'm ready to have this experience. Like, this should be a good time. Let's see what, you know, Aruba has in store for us. And during that trip, I received three valuable signs that are definitely life lessons to remember at all times. But I knew it was a signal for me to get things shaken with my move. And so those three signs were to, number one, don't settle for what it is that you want in life. Number two, get out your own way and address your limiting beliefs. And number three, go for it. Whatever it is that you want, go for it. Don't hold yourself back, you know? And this is how that unfolded. It might seem like a long story, but I promise you it's not. It just sets the tone for me understanding the signs that I was listening to as I was navigating, getting things in order for this move to the city. So when we booked the resort in Aruba, I'm telling you, like, it was giving really great vibes. Tub, you know, just big ass tub in the bathroom with the floor to ceiling windows, big vibe, you know, like it gave, I want to eat grapes, cheese and drink while I'm butt ass naked in this tub. It gave serenity. All right. The room was just a really great vibe. The energy was on point. Like, oh my goodness. Just from how those images gave, I was like, we book it and we're going to be good to go. The moment we arrived at that resort, it gave womp, womp, womp. Now, I had to do it that long to just emphasize how it just really wasn't what it needed to be. You know, the food was trash. There were angry Karens rolling around in that goddamn resort, okay? Just angry white women. I couldn't understand it. It was just nasty vibes. The food was nasty. And then when we got to the room, that room wasn't shit like what we booked online. Tub wasn't even in the center of the damn bathroom. The view was absolutely terrible. The bedding gave Motel 6. Had stains on it. I said, oh, hell no. We collectively had a conversation and it was like, listen, as black women, we don't have to settle. We can have what it is that we want and know that if this place ain't it, someplace else on this damn island will be. Okay. And that's exactly what happened because the night we checked in, should I say the evening rather, the afternoon we checked in, the evening we were somewhere else at a boutique resort. And already had another resort booked for the morning that we would stay for the duration of our trip. And so that was like message. I didn't really pull it all together until the end of the trip, but that was essentially the message. Now, at the second hotel is where I received my last two messages. And we spent the night there. We went out. We came back, we regrouped, got things in order the following day for our travels to our next resort. But I spent some time at the pool in the early morning, afternoon hours. And there, my bestie's close friend also was at the pool. And from us taking pictures and just kikiing, we went into a conversation. I had noticed that she had July 13th, 2019 tatted on her. And I'm at hype because July 13th is my birthday. So I'm like, yes, another goddamn Cancerian. Like, shout out to my Cancerians. Like, yo, it's lit. Whole time, she ain't even a Cancer. She gave me the background of her tattoo and explained that it was a day where she was turning up with her friends, enjoying life, meeting new people, and to celebrate the day she got a tat. Now, for me, 2019, my birthday, that season of my life, it was, whew, so many different things was happening. I didn't even look like myself. I was going through a deep depression. It was just a season of a lot of turmoil, you know? And so as I reflected on what I was experiencing and what that date meant for her, I was like, it's so interesting how terrible seasons in your life can be the best seasons for other people. Your time is your time, you know? I took that away from it. And we segue into having a conversation about her living in the city and me wanting to transition there. And what was holding me back, some of the things that I was thinking about, some of the things I had anxiety over. And she was like, girl, listen, you young, you ain't tied down. You here in Aruba, you living your best life as a single Black woman. Like, you ain't got nothing to lose. Just go for it. And don't feel like it's not going to work out because you got this. Like, literally, you are living what people dream of. Keep dreaming for yourself. Like, it was just, that was it. And she didn't know how much I needed to receive that conversation and what it was that I was praying for earlier in the year. But that conversation lit a fire underneath my ass. For when I left Aruba, I was like, anything that I am not aligned with, things that don't represent me anymore, shit that I should have let go a long time ago, I'm packing it up, I'm throwing it away. And I am clearing space for this path, for this new move. And one of the things that I've always understood is that when you're ready for something, you put the work in for it. Your energy is for it. The way you show up is for it. You know, like nothing can stop you for preparing for what it is that you want when your focus is where it needs to be. Unless, of course, divine intervention. But for the most part, when you are ready for something, you make space. And I was making space. So when I returned back to Albany, man, listen, I uncovered that I had a lot of stuff I was holding on to that I didn't need. I'm talking about broken shoes, old schoolwork with negative messages on it from professors I ain't even like. Like, I was like, why is this stuff in my space too? Old decor, you know, just things that I didn't have any purpose for that was just taking up space. It didn't make any sense for why I was having certain, you know, these things around other than I wasn't taking the necessary time to look through these things and release them, you know, and I was now doing it in a chapter where I was ready to move forward. And I was like, yo, anything that I'm bringing with me, I'm gonna be able to start over. And by the time I was done packing, like, my boxes didn't even fill one third of my bedroom. A big ass bedroom at that, with floor to ceiling windows and a walk-in closet. I really didn't have that much stuff. But it felt so good because I was like, whoo, I'm making space for my transition. And now I could focus on storage. And now I could focus on preparation for shopping for my apartment. And now I could focus on what lies ahead and what I want to see and what I like to call my next oasis. Because that's what an apartment should feel like. You know, your home should feel like an oasis. And so I was ready to get things moving. My move out date was May 31st. I believe it was May 31st. That's when my lease ended. So I had to be out by then. And by the time the end of April came around, I was already 80% all the way, you know, damn near done with packing. I only had a few things that I needed to do in the meantime, in between time. But as, you know, I stated earlier in the intro, there really wasn't a lot of room to create because I was focusing on this move. And that's self-explanatory, right? You got to focus on yourself before you're able to put energy in other places. So in me doing that, I was just thinking about like, all right, well, with a few weeks left until it's time for me to get out of here, do I think I can secure a lease that fast in the city? I said, shit, I ain't even going to put enough stress on myself like that. I don't even want to do it. You know, I'm going to give myself a few months and go somewhere where I can transition temporarily so that I could just focus on the apartment search. As long as my belongings are up, set, and ready to go, I feel like I will be fine. But now I was processing, like, where do I put my items? So I thought originally about leaving my items in a storage unit in Albs. And when I was calling around, it was like a dead end until I called a long distance mover located in the Capital Region area who spoke with me and was just like, yo, where you want to go? How much stuff you got? All right, well, why keep your stuff in an environment you don't want to be in? And I said, ooh, another message. And he encouraged me to move my items down to a storage unit in New York City. That was where I actually wanted to be. And was like, yo, you'll save money. You don't even got to worry about it. And I'm going to tell you right now, get someone else to do it for you because you don't need to be paying $1,050 for the number of items that you have because you don't have that much. And he was right. And by May 24th, my items were located in a storage unit in Brooklyn, New York. So the first half of this transition went really smooth, you know? And although there were some uneasy moments, there were some things that were creating anxiety for me, you know, I had the best faith that I was going to be okay because I was just paying attention to the signs, from me praying on it to the conversation that I had in Aruba to the conversation that I had with the mover to actually being able to get my stuff down there. Like, I just felt really confident about things moving in the right direction. And what gave me another sign that I was moving where I was supposed to be is my unit number. My unit number in the storage unit was 2501. Now, for me, 22 and 24 have always represented positive numbers of change in my life, you know, that I was moving in the right direction. I will never forget this. In grade school, I was the 24 game champion out of all the sixth grade classes. And all 24 is an integer game where you have to make 24 out of the four numbers presented to you, either addition, multiplication, division, subtraction. You got to be able to get 24. And so even though I'd be like, oh, I'm terrible at math, when it came to math in my younger years, in that game in particular, I was a beast, okay? And ever since then, 24 has always been a special number. So much so that as a young adult, when I first landed my first luxury apartment, the number 24 was in it. When I had my first big job that paid me big bills, the number 24 was the location of our suite on the 24th floor. Like, you know what I'm saying? It was always great messaging. So I'm up here looking at my number and it's like 2501. 25 minus 1 is 24. So I was like, ooh, that's exactly where I need to be. But aside from me looking at that number as 24, I looked at the number for what it was. And as an angel number, 2501 means focusing on your direction in life. Like, how you look at your life is as important as how much work you put into it. So prioritizing both of those things are important and you'll be able to get far. That's literally what that number represents. And so I'm like, damn, like, this is a sign. I got my items here. I just need to focus on the next half of my journey. So with me understanding that I would be leaving Albany permanently soon, I was navigating, maneuvering where I would be within my transitional space. I got my items in my storage unit. I'm gonna be good. Now, next is like where to within your transitional period. Because I knew I wasn't gonna be able to land and search for an apartment the way that I needed to immediately. And didn't wanna rush to get an apartment that was less than the standard of living I already had in Albs. And so I was like, give yourself some time. 3 to 4 months, you'll still be good. You arrive in the summertime. That's the best time to be in the city. It'll be a vibe. You're going to be okay. You know, I had no idea what was going to be in store for me. However, I just kept the faith and kept moving forward. So I considered a few things with regards to where I want to be in my transitional period. Number one, living with friends. Number two, living in a short-term rental. And number three, living back at home in Rochester. And each of these decisions had their own pros and cons to it. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it when I talk about what those pros and cons are. You know, number one, living in a short-term rental, I'm by myself. But short-term rentals tend to be expensive. Number two, living with friends, while it's all great and dandy to be with someone you're familiar with, you don't know what it's like to live with people, you know, until you actually have to live with them. You could be cool with someone all you want, but living is a very different experience. And I wanted to be cautious of that. Number two, I also wanted to be cautious of my timeline, because if it just so happens that I'm staying in this place and I actually need to stay longer than I had anticipated because the journey is not going as I planned, I know I'm going to feel uncomfortable with that. So that brings me to number three. Returning to Rochester. Now, Rochester wasn't at the top of my list, but I knew that I would probably be most comfortable there if something did go wrong and I would know how to maneuver the environment. Now, thinking about my childhood experiences growing up in Rochester and where I was as an adult, I didn't want to experience that same type of energy. But I felt like because I have mental health resources, I'm in therapy, I got a bigger bag, I have better boundaries, that things are going to be good. But I have to say this because it's on my heart. You know, sometimes we choose to return to places because our inner child feels like we really need to be there. We need to be supported. We deserve to be supported, that, you know, maybe things would be different. And the thing about toxic environments are, no matter how different you may want it to be, or you may feel like there may be changes, ultimately, toxicity is toxicity. And you may not want to acknowledge it, but you'll feel it. Because it'll disrupt the way you sleep, how you eat, how you think, how you breathe, how you look at yourself, the type of energy you have around you, how you feel getting up in the morning to start your day, the thoughts that you have when it's time for you to go lay down. You know, like, you may feel like you have all the boundaries in the world up against a toxic environment, but when you are really out of that environment, you'll see how differently it changes you. And the reason why I made the decision to return back to Rochester is because I felt like for a short period of time, I could make it work. You know, it'll be just a short period of time. I'll do what I need to do and I will be out. And so I made that decision. I thought about, you know, all of the things that I wanted to get in order and the process that I would go through to secure my apartments. And when I ultimately returned at the end of May, I began my search. And from here, it's where a lot changes. What was originally a smooth process became a journey that wasn't as smooth. It was very rigid. And I started to feel uncomfortable within my search because setting out, I was so inspired. And when things started to hit with roadblock after roadblock, it became quite concerning if I was headed in the right direction. Like, I received my signs in March, things are moving along in May, I see the numbers that I'm headed in the right direction. And all of a sudden, there's all of these pauses with me being able to secure my next oasis. And I always like to talk about a home as an oasis, a feeling of comfort, a feeling of rejuvenation, where you don't mind being in. Even when you want to be out, sometimes you still feel like you are out when you're inside. Like, it's just a great vibe. But I was trying to pay attention to what was happening around me. And when I began my journey of looking for apartments at the end of May, beginning in June, whew, it was a lot. It was a whirlwind, because my first apartment kind of set the tone for the type of different rejection that I would face. And I didn't have a lot of denial within my process. I didn't even get an opportunity to get to filling out my application and having someone approve me or deny me with other leads that I had beyond this first experience. But that is also, you know, very telling to the roadblocks that I was facing, and that probably I should have took a pause a lot sooner from when I did in July. So let me just get into it, okay? So in June, I probably made 35 inquiries for different apartments that were available in the city in the respective places that I was looking. And that was in Queens and as well as Brooklyn, okay? And the first apartment that I'm able to send my application in for is located in Brighton Beach. It is a second floor walk-up, state-of-the-art kitchen, beautiful behind living room. I'm telling you, room with the barn door on it. It's a railroad apartment, but it's still nice. And then, you know, I got laundry in unit. I got closet space. Like, it is really a great vibe. For me to submit my application, I provide 3 bank statements. I provide proof of income. I provide my information for them to pull a background check and also look at my credit score. And I also give them essentially any other information that they may need, like supplemental information, like tax forms, so that they can see how much money I've bought in past years. And I am eager to have this apartment, because let me tell you, okay, if I get this apartment and I move in by June 15th, my rent is free for July. So I don't pay rent again until August. They're cutting a deal. You know, they want somebody to hurry up and move in. I'm already in the mood of making it work. Like, let it be. And once I get my response back, they tell me that they don't like my application. They don't provide a reasoning for it. They just say they don't like my application, which then leads me to feeling like, well, I'm not going to force wanting to be in a place that clearly doesn't want me there. So I'm going to let it go. But if it was a forewarning of what was to come, it was get ready to buckle up because you're going to face more rocky experiences. At the beginning of June, I get hit with COVID-19. And so it does delay my ability to physically be present and look at apartments. But I'm reaching out and asking folks, are they willing to work with me by sending virtual videos, going there, FaceTiming me, and meeting with me the following week? I'm hearing crickets, okay? And I said, how is this possible? Because at the height of COVID-19, y'all was booking deals virtually. And all of a sudden, now that it's booming out here, y'all don't know how to act, and y'all just disregarding mugs like a motherfucker. You know, it was just like, what the hell is going on? Probably out of the 35 inquiries that I made, probably 5 were responding back to me, and probably 3 were actually serious about moving forward. And so I was like, this is very annoying, but I'm going to get through this journey. The second week of June arrives and I feel more depleted because some of the same things are happening with the lack of communication between me and brokers. And let me tell you, it's not on me. It's on the brokers. You know, people want me to chase them down and folks are either not responsive the way that they need to be or just like completely ignorant to the information that I've already provided them with. It's just, what the hell is going on? And so now I have a conversation with my therapist about it because my stress is just like, I knew that I had to prepare to sign up for a different experience, like a strenuous process, because shopping around for an apartment in New York City has always been hard, but it just feels like, what the hell is happening? And she gave me some words of encouragement. She was like, you know what, Charlisa, I want you to keep in mind that your home may be in New York City, but it may not. It may be on the outskirts of New York City. It may look different from originally how you looked at what your next home would be. You know, it may be in Texas. Just keep your options open within your search. Expand your search so that you can have more opportunities, because there is somewhere where you have a home. But always remember, there is a home within you. And I was like, ooh, message. So I received that and expanded my options. So originally in my first part of my search, it was just simply solo apartments. Then it became me looking at living with another roommate or two, considering looking at real estate in New Jersey and that process. And I had a few leads there, but that also fell through because, number one, when I started to consider the options that I had, it was like $2,100 to live with, you know, two other roommates. And I was like, that'll make sense for two rooms. I could have a whole apartment to myself where exactly I want to be. And then with the other apartment, absolutely beautiful, gorgeous. Okay. Was definitely a steal, but somebody else got to the lease quicker than I did. And I was like, maybe it's just not the right timing. But what I'm experiencing along the way lets me know that I'm headed in the right direction. Eventually, I will find somewhere there's a place just for me, you know? But the more I pushed to look at different avenues in my search, whether it was outside of my individual search, tapping into my network, even looking at housing pages, I just saw ridiculousness left and right. And I wasn't making as much progress as I would have liked. So an example of this is, like, for instance, at 5 o'clock in the morning, someone makes a post about a listing for a unit, a one bedroom, one bath that they have available. By 5:05 a.m., there are over 60 comments. I'm not dragging this. Over 60 comments of people looking for housing. They will probably contact the first five people. For tours, for apartments that are in affordable places, if you are showing up to that tour, it's probably 95 other people lying all around the block for folks who are looking for housing. And it was something that the news was talking about. It was something that, you know, there were reports on the rising cost of rent in New York City for last year, reaching astronomical numbers, over $4,000 in median rent, over $5,000. It was just like, what the hell is happening? So I'm gonna put my policy hat on for a minute and explain to y'all what was going on. Because from 2020 to 2021, New York City lost 3.5% of its population. Over 300,000 people ended up leaving New York City at the height of the pandemic because of COVID-19 protocols. They wanted to go to other places that were way more opened up. And also for safety reasons, in terms of not wanting to catch COVID-19, because at one point, New York City was definitely the epicenter. And so with those many people leaving the city, the renter market was suffering. And there were COVID-19 deals popping up everywhere where you could find, in a prime area of New York, affordable rents. And people were taking up these offers. Even if the apartments weren't rent stabilized, for you to find low rent in a prime area, like, go for it, you know? And this was happening because folks were leaving. So to keep people to stay, it was like, oh, we're offering low rent. But see, once 2022 hit and over 300,000 people came back to New York City, as the world was opening up again, and folks were coming down for new opportunities, whether it was schooling, whether it was internships, whether it was entertainment, exploration, job options, like, it was a very competitive market. And now that so many people have flooded back into the city, those COVID-19 deals were no longer in existence. So if you got a booming apartment that was for the low in a prime area during the height of the pandemic, I guarantee you those rents raised to numbers that damn it, nobody should be paying. At that point, what you paying for rent in New York City, you could be owning a property somewhere else. And CNBC Make It had an entire report on people who were priced out, essentially, of rent in New York and what was happening. So you had folks losing access to affordable housing, being pushed out because they couldn't afford to maintain rent that was raising $2,700, $3,000. You had natives who could not afford to find places to rent. Entire apartment buildings that were clearing out because rents were being raised. And you have transplants who are coming into the city looking for housing who can't find it. So during the time in which I was shopping around for housing, it was really rough. And I would make jokes like, well, if I make it down there by September, nobody better not say anything to me because, boy, I have a testimony. But I really did have a testimony because the journey was just a lot to see how far I could even get to an application and to an approval. And I knew that I had an exceptional package, so it shouldn't have been that hard, but it was. Because there were folks when I was looking for an apartment who were trying to find housing since April. And we're going into July and folks still haven't made any progress within their housing search. It was a lot. And even with me expanding my options for my search, that didn't help either because I was still going through the same situation of being ignored or not having somebody get to me in a timely fashion, or, you know, just too many inquiries for one place. And it took a toll on my mental wellness throughout the entire month of June. Like, there are recordings that I have literally documenting my progress, and you can start to hear where it's just like, damn, like, it's getting to you. You're not okay. And by the end of June, I told myself, I'm taking like a week off, and I'm gonna focus on celebrating myself at least for the month of July. Now, in between my celebration, I'm still going to focus on my move, but I think I deserve to take a week off, you know? And the week that I was going to take off was already going to happen anyway, because earlier in the year, I had booked to participate in the Essence Festival. I wanted to participate in Essence Fest. So I was just like, yo, it's here. The time has arrived. And although I was contemplating whether or not I should go, I thought about it and I was like, yo, enjoy yourself, because you are about to enter an entire new book in your life, and you deserve to be able to have this experience, even if things are less than desirable right now. You know, enjoy that. But before I made it to Essence Fest, I said I'm going to put one last push for some tours that I want to set up, at least so I could still have some movement with regards to this process in July. And so I booked tours for two places, looking at these apartments after July 15th. So July 17th is when I booked my appointments because I knew I would be back in the city during that time. And with that particular site that I was on, you were unable to book a tour before the 15th. It had to be the 15th onward. And for the places that I was looking at, I specifically said the 17th. I was going to make a do-to-do. This is like the week of June 30th. Okay, so I set it up for the 17th. I'm ready to go. And by July 1, I get an email that says these places are already leased. And I'm confused. Like, I am very much so confused because how is it that a place that you could not tour until July 15th by July 1 is already off the market? I said, what the hell is going on? Maybe that's another sign. And when I entered into July, my spirit was already in shambles, you know. Part of it was my move. Part of it was me wanting to be hopeful and hoping that I could secure a space really soon. And that wasn't going as planned. I was turning 27 and it was like everything that I knew became very much so unfamiliar. Like, I'm turning 27 in less than 2 weeks because my birthday is on the 13th. It's already July 1. And I'm frustrated about not only what's happening in my moving journey, but also what's happening in my temporary environment that I'm staying in. What's happening with regards to my relationships. I'm feeling a shift in energy with people that I'm very close to. I'm feeling a shift in energy with myself. I'm very much so feeling a lot of disconnection everywhere. And there are multiple tower moments that are happening simultaneously. And I don't really understand what these things mean, but it just doesn't feel good. And my mental health was so in the toilet. Now, back in the day, there was a movie I would watch, and I forgot what this movie name was, but like they enter into a bar or something, and there's this woman who's singing country, and she sings, I threw a ring down the toilet because that's where our love went. And so when I say my mental health is in the toilet, that is what I'm referencing. But I got mental health in the toilet from a friend who always describes that when she is not doing good with her mental health and she is ranking where her capacity is, it's in the toilet. And so I understand it and I stole it from her, but that's exactly what I was feeling in July. And with my move, you know, me facing those type of setbacks, with me feeling different dynamics in my relationships shift, like a lot was just going on and I was not happy. I was masking, you know, I was putting up a front like things were good, like I felt good. You know, but there were even certain things that I didn't have the courage to address. So I didn't have any fight in me to address because spiritually I just wasn't where I needed to be. And I knew that the most important thing was for me to pour into myself and tap myself on the back, give myself some courage, you know, nurture myself, pour into me just a little bit more. And not worry about things that were out of my control. I could only worry about what was in my control. You know, what was happening with the apartments that I was looking at and them being off the market and people not responding. I couldn't control that. But I could control how I looked at my process. You know, I could control whether or not I fought harder for my search. I could control relaxing and giving myself some space. I could control what I was putting my energy towards. And I just tried to comfort myself as much as possible. But I had breaking points. And I broke down 3 times in July. Because I felt really just helpless. You know, because I said, what the hell is going on? And sometimes it's okay to call a thing, and that's what I was experiencing. And by the end of the month, something just randomly occurred that I was just like, maybe this search isn't going the way that I need it to go because the universe is trying to tell me something. But I, at first, I didn't want to believe that that's what it was. And so I was saying like, nah, the first part of this journey was mad smooth. I'm not about to stop just because things get a little rocky. You know, like I've had rocky experiences before. I'm going to be all right. But then when this particular moment happened, I said, hell no. All right, I need to shut down and regroup and figure out what the hell is happening and next steps for myself. So what actually ended up occurring was I got an email randomly that said there was a change to my credit reports. And I have credit monitoring services, so I know when things are fluctuating or, you know, if something was posted to my account, I can see daily what's going on with regards to my credit. So I went to go see what was the change in my status, and I saw an inaccurate data point that was located on all three of my credit reports from Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion. And it was a false data point that said I had not paid an undisclosed amount to my credit card company. And I was like, that ain't what it is. Like, ain't no way in hell that that's the thing, because I always pay over the minimum for my credit cards. And truth be told, I done had an experience before where I done went through cleaning up messes, dealing with, you know, bad credit, having to rebuild after that. So why would this be the thing for me? It was just so random, and it happened out of the blue in July. It was just like, bloop. If everything else that was going on, it was like, oh yeah, here's another tower moment. I'm gonna fuck you up. I just felt like the universe was trying to beat my ass. And why was it so random? Like, I was like, what are you trying to tell me? Because sometimes things happen and we'd be like, yeah, things happen for a reason, but we may not understand it while it's happening. And I think for me in that moment, I knew that the universe was trying to tell me something, like put me on pause, pause this search, stop trying to search any further, stop trying to force this search to work, and you need some much needed introspection. For real, it's time for you to really look inward. You always say you look inward, but it's time for you to look inward beyond just this move. And so in the middle of a crisis at the end of July, I ended up taking a week off of work because I just was out of it. And I had made the decision that for August, September, and October, I was really going to zone out. And for August in particular, I was going to ask myself important questions about this move. Like why I was moving, what really this move is about, thinking about the journey of how I got here, really being intentional about what my goals are, pouring into myself a little bit more, thinking through how I've shown up in my life in past years that has led me up to this moment, overviewing what my journey has been like in Rochester thus far, some of the recurring themes that I had to face, some of the uncomfortable experiences that I've had to have, inner child wounds that have resurfaced, things that I thought that I was buried that weren't buried, really looking at where I'm getting my energy from and what it is that I'm pouring my attention to. Oh, it got real in August. And it was an uncomfortable time, but it was very much so needed. And while the inaccurate data points were resolved, and I won my disputes and everything came to a close at the end of September, beginning of October, that was all great and dandy, I was still in a zone. And this is what that journey revealed to me. The detachment that I was feeling when I found myself in a space ready to leave Albany was also some detachment that was related to self. Like, I didn't want to admit it, but the truth was I was running from things that I knew I needed to work on. And wanting to up and move, I felt like, yeah, you know, I'll be in a new place. I'll be in a new place that inspires me. I'll be in a new place that helps me grow, yada, yada, yada. But if you can't even take advantage of pouring into yourself when the time matters the most, how the hell are you going to be able to do that in a new space? I wasn't even showing up for myself the way that I needed to, but I was showing up to be present for other people's problems, other people's purposes, other people's passions, and neglecting each and every one of those P's within my own world. And I felt it, you know, but I just kept moving in a way that was very aimless and non-intentional. And so when I called fluidity to myself, of course the universe was like, yeah, you're going to get it. You're going to get fluidity because you're not recognizing how detached you are from self and what it's going to take for you to get back to you. So the moving journey was purposeful because it never was simply just about moving to somewhere bigger. You can move somewhere bigger anytime you want. You know, it's not impossible to make the move happen. But when there are detours that come up in your life, it's clearly a sign that there is something else that you need to be navigating through. Maybe someone else that you need to connect with before going on into this next chapter, this next book or series of your life. And I think even though I really wanted that journey to happen for me immediately when I wanted it to, God was like, you need to dig a little bit deeper because there's some things that you need to unpack here. There's some discomfort that is happening that is coming full circle for you because it's related to something else. Why do you think you're back in Rochester? It's a reset that's happening. And with resets, certain things have to end. With resets, certain things have to be shined a light on so you can see how you need to do better for yourself when you're beyond the space that you're at now. You're feeling very depleted and broken and frustrated for a reason. And not to be too hard on yourself, but you've also played a role in some of the setbacks you're feeling right now. And so you have to hold yourself accountable for the ways in which you show up in your own harm. And I was like, I don't think I'm ready for this conversation, but I had to have it. Because a move wasn't going to change how I was showing up for myself. Me living my best life somewhere else, but still neglecting myself wasn't going to best serve me. This was a very much so spiritual journey. And even though I didn't move when I wanted to, I was still moving. At least spiritually. To be like, all right, she receives this. She understands why things have to be put on pause so that she can show up for herself the best way possible. And neglect comes in different forms. You know, sometimes it's literally you physically neglecting yourself. Sometimes it's emotional neglect. Sometimes it's career goals neglect. Sometimes it's just completely forgetting about what's important to you. Like, neglect is neglect. Period. You know? And regardless of how smooth my process was at the beginning of this entire moving journey, detours happen. And I really believe that the universe sometimes see things that we don't. Of course, it's the universe. And detours happen to protect us. There might be a path that we think we really want to go down and the universe is just like, no. And you're like, damn, but nah, they really said that, you know, the place I need to go to is right here. It's like, all right, well, you got to go the other way to get there. but I don't want to go the other way to get there. I really want to move right now. Like, what's up? Like, no, I know what's at the end of the road. You want to get bit by a lion? Cut it the fuck out. Take your ass around the block. And there's other things on the path you need to navigate before you get to this road. And when you get to this road, you get to this road. That's it. That's literally how the universe was talking to me. Like, sis, let me tell you something. I know you want things to go like this right now. I could get used to a place like this. Like, honestly, you want all of this shit to be popping. But truth be told, you need to take your ass down this way. There's other things you need to take care of first and focus on. Not accepting that. Not even understanding detours as they happen sometimes could get us in this place where we just don't accept what's supposed to be in our path. And I wasn't accepting it. I didn't understand until I was like, July happened and it was so random. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Maybe it's something else that I need to focus on. And throughout my entire moving process, I was not as present. You know, I think in a way I was very embarrassed that things weren't happening the way that I wanted them to happen, that I started to isolate myself a lot. I was isolating myself from my therapist. I was isolating myself from people that I wanted to be in community with, you know, like in particular, even with my granddad, I isolated from him. Like, in OBS, he was always someone I talked to. He would call at the right moment and we would just chop it up about life, about being a Black American person from the South, about love and relationships, about heartbreak, about evolving, about education, about clarity. We just spoke a lot. And when I came back to Rochester, I didn't have as many conversations as I normally would have with him. It was even hard for me to explain what I was navigating and going through, because I just was like, yo, it's just not going the way that I want it to go. I'm anxious over this shit. I don't know what else the universe is trying to tell me, but I know right now I'm on a pause. So I went through August and I went through September and I went through October and I got some clarity and I felt motivated and I was hype. You know, I was like, yep, setbacks happen, but I could come back even harder. And at the end of October, my month of processing, putting things into perspective, pouring into myself, the month of pouring, I had all of these P words set up for myself for October. I was like, I'm gonna get back to it. And the moment I got back to it, more tower moments happened. November 2022 was forever life-changing for me. The most important tower that happened was I lost my granddad. See, when you're not busy being present and you're chasing something and you think that's all you need to focus on, it pulls your time and energy away from what really matters. Whole time I was in Rochester, it was not only to focus on my plan, get my house in order, but spend a little time with an elder who wasn't going to be here with me beyond 2022. And so I had lost that opportunity. But when I think about my granddad's death and his home going and his journey and him dying in isolation and what that represented for me, it was putting a lot of things in perspective about what mattered beyond my move. And so, as hard as it was to release, I just had to do it for my mental peace. And that's why ending the year on a note where, even though things didn't go the way that I wanted it to go, I was able to accept the fact that in me releasing things that I needed to let go, including processing my move, it was going to bring better clarity for me and spiritually center me right where I needed to be. And so I'm forever grateful for that. You know, I ended the year half tired. I cooked the black eyed peas. I made sure there was collard greens. I had space for being in community with people that I wanted to be in community with and knew that I would still be on a working progress. The spiritual awakening that I experienced in 2022 is very much the same spiritual awakening journey that I'm on in 2023, you know? And from what it is that I've learned, I know that there are different steps that I have to take for myself, you know, entering into this year as I continue on down another path of figuring out where it is that I am meant to be. So in a very long-winded way, I say this all to say, like, this is why I had to take time for myself. There was a lot of moments where I could have been as present, but I didn't choose to. There were moments where I could have, you know, used the recordings that I had and just published them. I didn't want to do that. You know, I needed to really focus on me. I couldn't show up for passion projects. It was like a whole year went. You know, people say a lot can happen in a year, but seriously, a lot can happen in a year. Your life can do an entire 180. And that's what it felt like. And 180s aren't always comfortable. 2022 was an uncomfortable ass year. And it forever changed me. And so when I talk about this spiritual awakening I had, I'm tapping into symbolisms, energies I'm picking up on, you know, things within myself that I needed to navigate through. I'm picking up on what I lost last year, what I gained last year, what I felt like I had to let go. You know, I'm picking up on so many different chapters that not only had to come to a close, but different things that I needed to face for self. And it comes a time in everyone's life where they get there, you know? Like, I'm thinking about it, like, my Saturn return is about to come up. You know, maybe I'm already in the process of that, 27 to 30. You know, people say it comes around when you like 28, 29, but I felt like I was really feeling that mug in the year 27. I don't ever want to relive a year as tumultuous as 2022. But I know that there will be other seasons in my life that there will be more loss. There will be more experiences where things won't go the way that I want them to. And I'll have to pay attention to the signs and be comfortable with the detours that come my way. Before closing out today's episode, I want to share with y'all snippets of last year based upon the recordings that I had where I was documenting my journey. A lot of this was a part of a series that I was going to be titling Moving On Up and displaying my journey moving to New York City. And then it became And Beyond and What I'm Learning. And from May till November, I basically recorded at least once a day what I was feeling with regards to my move, progress, stops, different things that related to what was happening in New York with the apartment search, based upon news reports and all of those different things, just words of wisdom, all of that. I want to share pieces of those clippings to show you what my journey was like, how I sound, the energy, like all of that as I release 2022 for real this time. The time that I'll be taking away for self this year will be focusing on pouring into other creative projects like writing, completing my manuscript, and being able to delve deeper into some of what 2022 taught me, other tower experiences, and more importantly, coming to peace with my journey and different chapters in my life that I've had to navigate. Now, I really hope y'all enjoy these snippets, and I want to wish you a very beautiful start to 2023. And regardless of what you experience this year, remember to take a pause, respect your detours, and most importantly, listen to what your needs are. Till next time, y'all. looking back on the recordings that I set for myself in 2022, navigating my journey, and I just wanted to share little snippets of this, where the journey started, where it ended, and me picking back up. So let's get into it. This is May 13th, 2022.
I don't know if this episode would ever reach the Broke Black Bougie podcast, but I'm deciding that now is the time to be truthful and honest about the, you know, experiences that I'm navigating through. Earlier this year,
car in the background,
that I was going to wait to the end of the year to move out of Albany. I entered into Albany, New York.
I entered into Albany and I left that mall. No. Let's look at where I was at on May 22nd.
I talked to them about staying there for an extra 6 months. Do what I need to do and go. Baby, as of May 22nd, 2022, all of my personal items, which is not that much because I am really committed to starting fresh, it's packed up in a storage unit in Brooklyn, New York. And all I got to do is bring my ass down here and find a lease and get my apartment and move my ass down here. That's all I have to do.
It's quite hilarious. As I was like, oh, this is all I have to do. And there was so much other things that I had to do to navigate my big move, you know? Things seemed so much more simpler in that process because, of course, like, whoo, child, it was just easier. So let's look at where I was at by June. Oh, my goodness. I did a lot of recordings on the 24th and the 23rd of May. But let's see where I'm at by June.
It is Friday, June 10th, 2022. And so much has happened in my life over the past couple of months. And I was telling myself, I was like, yo, you're going to do a solo episode and you're going to talk about it. But I'm like, how many times do people get exhausted talking about the same thing over and over again? Or being like, hey, I got another update. Things ain't going how it's supposed to go. Hey, got another update.
Things ain't going how it's supposed to go. Yo, I was so over it. Like, it was the tiff. And like, I had only been, what was it? I had only been, goodness gracious, hold on. Let me go to... this is June 2022. I had already been doing my search for, 3 weeks? And things weren't happening. It felt like a month of just being overwhelmed. Baby, I was so over it. But you could definitely hear the shift in my tone between May and when I was recording this in June. On June 10th, I did 1, 2, 3, 4 recordings. June 11th, I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 recordings. Oh, my goodness. 16 minutes of this, 16 minutes of that. And I was like, I'm going to just turn this mug into a series. But let's see where I was at, how I was feeling at the end of June.
It is June 20th, 2022, and I've made a decision to pause my search in housing for New York City. One of the primary reasons is I'm really drained and exhausted, and I need to give myself at least a week break to regroup, to find housing, and to center myself the way that I need to be centered so that I could get to this next chapter in having a home.
Ooh, Lord, I just needed to pause that. Like, you can hear that my voice is just winded. Like, from how I felt in May to how I sound in June, it's like, hell no. You know, it's like I'm over it. I really feel overwhelmed, and it's taken a toll. Like, this was a This is only like a week and 2 days after I did the recording on the 10th. And remember, the last week is when I said I got that email about not having the apartments that I wanted to be able to tour available because they got off the market. So, like, my spirit here sounds so heavy.
When I made the decision to move to Rochester, it was not supported by those closest to me. And that is because they understand the gravity of how much being, not necessarily in my hometown, but in this house.
Oh, Lord. I was going through it. I was chatting. I think in this recording, if I remember what it was that I was navigating through, I had a huge crying session. You know, it definitely sounds like I was crying through this recording, but I was just documenting how hard it was for me and what I was feeling at the time. And the truth is, the journey to Rochester wasn't very smooth, you know. At least the journey of living in Rochester wasn't smooth. And up until this point, I was still taking my documenting this journey as a series on the side. So I was going to reveal that I was still in Rochester. I was revealing, you know, what that experience was like for me. I was going through the emotions. You can hear it. It's very heavy. Let's see how July does for me.
If you are someone who's looking to transition and move to
this
bigger
was
spaces,
July 12th.
I implore you to,
and I think this right here was a
give yourself grace, honor, and recognize
me closing out a recording episode that I did for the miniseries.
Knowing that you are not making the same mistakes, knowing that you have what it is that you need, knowing that you will have more security, and most importantly, I encourage you to have people in your community who support you.
Ooh, child. This is on the 12th. This is July 12th of 2022. And I'm sitting here like, you know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here like googly goggly eyes. But spiritually, it's like I'm just trying to make content, you know? Because a day before my birthday, I felt terrible. You know, then July 13th was a heavy day for me. Like, I knew it was my birthday, but I didn't feel, you know, the way that I needed to. And by the time I got to the end of July, baby, there were so many changes that was happening. It was just too freaking much.
Like, we love to have conversations.
This was July 17th.
We're experiencing things and we're out on the other end of it because it's like, yo, I did X, Y, and Z. I got through this. These were the steps that I took. This is how I overcame this. And this is how you can do it too, right? This story and what we're about to have, you know, tonight, the conversation, is not like that, right? It's not a story where I am completely out on the other side of it.
That's crazy.
Of being at the intersection of mental health challenges, parental experiences,
balancing my move. Like, I remember what I was feeling when I did this episode. There's a lot of anger that I had in me doing that episode because it was a few days after my birthday and I just felt like, yo, like, what the fuck is happening? You know, tower moments were happening during that time, and I just didn't even feel like myself. I didn't know what was happening around me, to me, through me, with the move. And I just wanted to talk about, like, I didn't want to give advice about navigating through something that I was clearly still going through, but I wanted to talk about what I was experiencing. And I did so many different freaking renditions of that episode because I was like, ooh, let me not talk too much about this. You know, oh, I feel like the way that I brought forth this to the conversation is too harsh. Like, I was like policing myself in a way through my emotions, and that definitely wasn't helping.
I didn't give y'all 10 minutes of snippets, and I'm sure there'll be other moments that I reflect upon navigating the journey of the big detour, but I'm gonna just close out this episode. Sometimes detours are blessings in disguise. Sometimes they inform us about different things that we have to focus on and how we navigate through beyond our journey. I will be completing a great project that I'm working on next year. And after that, moving along to another chapter. And I'll keep y'all posted about how that pans out. But in the meantime, in between time, I will be chopping it up in y'all ears soon.